When we talk about detachment, each person has his own way of letting things go. There's either a formula or a recipe, so to speak, for achieving holiness. And it is different from person to person. So how do you achieve detachment within the context of maintaining this relationship with God? You know, it's a living relationship. It is not a fiction, it is reality. But then at the same time, you're trying to live your life. I won't call it attachment, but it's necessary. How do you achieve real detachment, letting go of everything? Well, it is necessary of life. It's necessity of life. It's these necessities of life force you to keep these attachments. But yet at the same time, these attachments take you away from God. So how do you reconcile? How do you reconcile between, again, the necessities of life become an attachment and distract you from achieving the holiness that you desire in your heart?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your question, brother. Thank you for your question. This is the main core of the topic, of the issue. How can we live this detachment? We said that Saint Sherbel was the king of detachment, let's say, and the subject of our topic today is this detachment. He was detached from everything, but we are living in this world. He said that you have to be monks in this world. This is the motto of the family of Saint Sherbel. How can we live this detachment as a word? What is the process? The first thing is to avoid all the things that can break our relation with God, which is sins. So everything that we are attached to, which is sin, we have to break it immediately, because the sin is breaking your relation with God. So it's death. The first thing to do is to avoid sin. We cannot be attached to things that are taking us to hell, or they are pushing us to sin. So this is the first step, which is mandatory, and it's obligatory to every human being who is following the Lord. First, avoid sin. So the first detachment is to get detached from sin and to be detached from everything that can cause us to sin. So the second detachment, the other detachments will be mild detachments. We have to be detached from anything that will keep us from growing in grace, which means that if I have an entertainment now, I have to get some balance in entertaining myself. I know that I'm a human being and I need some refreshment. I'm working the whole day. I have a nervous system that get tired. I have a body that get tired. I have some emotions, and I need to have a human balance, at least in my life. So now, in this case, which is the daily case that we live in, I have to pray and ask for wisdom. You know, the most important thing in our lives is the prayers. So we have to pray to ask God for wisdom and for strength, for fortitude, for power, to know how to choose, to give our human nature only which is necessary for its survival, let's say, and to give all the rest for our inner core, for our inner life, which is much more valuable and much more eternal than other things. Let's say if I need 30 minutes or 1 hour of entertainment a day, just to relax, to refresh, to give some new power, some energy to my body to continue to keep on. So I give him the necessary amount of of rest and relax that it needs. I don't give my body 3 hours or 4 hours of relax and entertainments. While I can spend only maybe 1 hour of entertainment and give 3 hours on things that can nourish my spirit and my mind and things that make me closer to God. So it's a matter of wisdom and balance. Find the right balance in my life to give my material life the necessary things that it needs to continue living, and to give my whole rest in my life to my spiritual life to grow more in grace and wisdom to get closer to God. So everything that is I'm attached to in this world that I can get rid of, that I don't need it, that it's not necessary, I have to cut it and replace it with things that, believe me, it will give me more joy and satisfaction than the thing that I'm leaving. So everything that I get rid of, I throw it out of my heart. If I replace it with the presence of God and with the light of God, it will give me more satisfaction, more happiness, and more joy. And I'll discover more and more the meaning of my life, and I'll go deeper in my life and in in the spirit, which is much more important. That this is what will last at the end in my life, because all these things will stay here, and only the spiritual thing that I grew in will remain in my life. I don't know if I answered your question, George.
I think you did a good job answering my question. It's a matter of looking at everything that you encounter in life and prioritize.
You have to have a strong will. Saint Charbel had a will, they say a will of iron. When he decides to do something, he will decide it. Don't touch the grapes, he will never touch the grapes. Don't eat fruits, he will never eat fruits. You have to wake up at 3 in the morning, he will wake up at 3 in the morning. 3 hours of sleep, okay, 3 hours of sleep. So, and you know, in holiness, we need the discipline that we are lacking in these days. We are not very disciplined. You need the kind of discipline to discipline your spirit and your mind.
Yeah, the hardest fight is fighting, conquering yourself. That's the hardest.
Exactly. Yeah, correct.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you too.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Nader. What a beautiful topic.
Thank you.
I'm reflecting on your three stages, which are not unfamiliar in terms of studying the purgative, the light, the illuminative, and then union. Is it fair to say, my question is, I think most of us humans understand the purgative phase. Most of us are still struggling, like any good pilgrim, in purifying layers and layers of what the good Lord and the Holy Spirit's enlightening us to. But can the purgative stage continue into the illuminative stage and vice versa? And is a soul conscious? I guess what I'm asking you is a soul conscious of entering into the illuminative state? So many of the saints that I have studied, it seems as though they're always talking about their misery and the humility of that. It's not that they're beating themselves up, but they're very aware of their shortcomings and they're very aware of where they need improvement. But so many times I fail to hear them say that they're experiencing the light. And I guess it's a question of, are we conscious of that? Does the Lord permit that? I'm sure He does sometimes, but maybe not. I don't know if you can answer that question. As we're entering into illumination, are we aware that we're moving into a new dimension, maybe? So does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Yes, it's a very important question.
I just know, I know what the purgative stage feels like very well. Our desire as we continue to curb our appetites and all of this other is to recognize when that light of God is coming in. Maybe short glimpses, but I think they overlap if I'm incorrect.
Yeah,
Looking
correct.
forward to hearing what you would say. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for your question. Thank you so much. It's a very important question, and it's really very deep. These three stages are interacting together. They are always together. We don't leap from a stage to another stage. So while we are in the first stage of purification, as I said, or we start experiencing the second stage, which is the enlightenment, and at the same time we start tasting the third stage, which is the union of God. So they are always permanent throughout our whole life, the whole time. So every time I'm getting into purification, I feel more enlightened, I feel more the light of God, and I feel more the closeness of God to me. It's feel getting closer and closer. So the total union of God is something that is granted as a gift from God himself to the soul who is struggling in a special way. This is a special gift given by our Lord. And when God grant this gift, the soul is aware of this union with God, is aware of this light. So while we are working on our, let's say, purgatory stage, as you named it, or our purification, we start feeling the light of God becoming more intense in our souls. So we feel that we are more enlightened in a special way. And the indicator of this achievement of purification, enlightenment, and union is the growth of the love in our hearts. So you start feeling that you have a huge amount of love in your heart, which is different from the normal love that you had before. Because in our human state, our love is conditional. We are attached to things that we like. Okay, you attach to people that they are good people, that you like them, that you have good relations with them. You are attached to things that they don't harm you. This is the normal human life. But in a special stage, when you get more purified and more enlightened and closer to God, you start feeling a kind of love in your heart, which is unconditional and have no limits and have no returns. So you start loving all the people, all the nature, all the, as I said, you start loving the people, the trees, the stones, and everything. So you start feeling this communion between you and the creation. And the more you feel this, the more you feel this taste of undescribable freedom. You feel that you are so free and you are so wide that you can be spread for at the space of the whole universe. This is the feeling that I suppose then, I guess that the hermit will feel it when his heart is, as I said, is filled with the presence of God. He started feeling that he has no limits, that his body has no limits, that his spirit has no limits. He feels that he is as wide as the universe. And he stopped feeling his limited nature in this world. That's why the things of this world will not satisfy him anymore. Because nothing will give you this feeling of such a freedom and such a love that you are living with material things. So no material things will give you this feeling and this satisfaction. That's why you stop seeking them. You start seeking only the Lord, because you know that all the joy is with him, because you will live in union with him in a state that you will feel so free and so loving that you don't need anything anymore. I don't know if you understand me. So these stages are going all together, the three together. So we are purified, enlightened, and getting closer to God. And we start feeling what I say, this universal feeling of freedom. And this will give you a joy that really I cannot describe. This is a very beautiful feeling of joy and freedom.
Thank you. That's beautiful. It's the love language of God. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. God bless you all and have a blessed Lent season for all of you.
Same to you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you.